Good morning. Absolutely beautiful fall day. We're just getting all kinds of crazy weather here, up and down, up and down. Our son in Vermont, Caleb, they've already had snow up there. So, it is good to be here today in the house of the Lord, this last day of October. And please be careful out there in your travels. Especially for our little ones, but people of all ages nowadays go Halloweening today and tomorrow. And so keep an eye out for them and have fun and enjoy yourself. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we give you thanks for this place, for this sacred and holy ground upon which we gather. We give you thanks for this opportunity to be a witness to our friends and our families, our neighbors, that we are your children called by your name. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we have together with one another, for we are family. Thank you for this time that we have together with you, for we are family. Thank you for loving us. And we pray that what we do here today is pleasing unto you, God. So have your way with us. For we give to you this day this sacrifice of praise. We lift high the name of Jesus. So come, Holy Spirit, fill us with love for one another and especially with love for you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. And now, please, let us pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Good morning. I'm going to have to remember not to be so long-winded because I should be up here instead of back there shaking hands. Our memory verse for October is the Golden Rule. So let's repeat it two times, okay? Matthew 7, verse 12, the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, for this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7, verse 12, the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, for this is the law of the prophets. We welcome everyone who's here today, and if you're a visitor, please let one of the ushers know that you're a visitor, and we will get a packet to you telling you about our church and the activities that we have. In our moments of informality, Diane has a couple announcements.
First of all, if you were not here last week and did not get your directory, they are in the parlor. They have your name on them. If you did not order a directory and you would like one, there are about, I think, maybe a dozen left. You can see me after the service with $10 and pick up a directory at that point. Secondly, we still have these pens for sale. Ethel will be out, our wonderful salesperson in the back, so that if you haven't yet picked up your pen or pens, please see her. And just so that you can try them out, I'm attaching this pen to a clipboard. And on this clipboard, you can try the pen by signing up to help at Hanging of the Greens, which is on November 20th. We need a lot of people here to get out quickly because I understand there's an early Steelers game. All right, so we need a lot of people on that. And we want to know how much lunch to order. The second page on the clipboard is for lighting the Advent wreath. It can be families of any description. Parents and children, grandparents and children, friends, roommates, people you sit in the pew with, people who sit on the opposite end of the sanctuary from you, because we are all one church family. So if you would sign up for that, that's on the second sheet. And the third sheet says Advent refreshments. Now you're going to be getting some postcards probably next week. And they're to invite people to church, especially during Advent. And on the postcards, it says, light refreshments after each service. That means we need food. We need people to work it. It is not our regular coffee hour. So there are the 4 weeks of Advent, where you can sign up to provide donut holes, Christmas cookies, nut breads, whatever you so desire to bring in. We'll have the coffee pot on. If you want to have punch or something, that's totally up to you. But we want to be welcoming in case we do have some visitors. So there are three sheets. I'll send it back this side, and people in the back pass it across the pew, and we'll end up here with Betty. And if you want to sign up from the balcony, you come grab it after the service. Okay? All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. A few more things I'd like you to highlight in your bulletin. One would be the craft show that we're having. That's on November the 5th. We need some baked goods. If you haven't been called yet by Bernetta, you probably will be, and that's a very special event. Also, we're going to have the soup luncheon, which is a very great event here at our church. That will be on November the 13th after the second service, and you get a soup and a sandwich, and it's a wonderful event, a wonderful fellowship. Please remember that. Are there any other announcements from the congregation? Okay, I want to mention to you that in many churches during the month of October, it is set aside for pastor appreciation to give thanks to our minister. And Pastor Bruce, would you like to stand up, please? We here at, I'm going to get them. How are you?
There you go. Okay.
You two have only been with us a very short time, but what an impact you have made. It's been absolutely wonderful. You have done so many beautiful things, and it's quite evident. No. It's quite evident that you love the Lord, love your family, and love us.
Absolutely.
And we love absolutely. You. You have, by your sermons and by your spiritual growth, have taught us, too, to go out into the neighborhood and to be witnesses for the Lord. And it's very catchy. It's contagious what you're doing. So it's wonderful. Also, we have tried for a long time as a congregation to get a visitation team going to visit shut-ins. Just like that, Bruce did it. And we're out there visiting people, and they're very grateful for that. So please continue your ministry here the way you are. We love you, and we want you to help us grow. And I'm anxious because in January you're starting two great programs, and that will be the Bible study conducted by Pastor Bruce. Bonnie has already started a Bible study, correct? A book study? Are they religious books, or what are you ready?
Yeah, this one's for women.
For women, yes, a women's for group. Women. Okay.
So Saturday night at 7, women's book study, yes.
Wednesday. Every other
I said
Wednesday.
Saturday, didn't I?
Yeah.
Wednesday.
So okay. We really appreciate the thing that you do, and particularly because you're so spirit-driven. You speak and preach the gospel, which we needed so much in this church. So because of that, we love you very much, and accept this our gift to you.
Thank you.
And there, he keeps giving them to her. But thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I just want to say that, you know, been in ministry 23 years. October's always been Pastor's Appreciation Month. And there have been some things here and there over the years, some gifts that we've seen, but you take your pastor appreciation seriously. You are a class act. You really are. And I'm real proud of you guys and very appreciative of this. I know some people say, well, he gets paid for what he does. That's true, we do. And God has truly blessed us. But for some folks who understand, especially if you're in any kind of ministry yourself, You know that it goes, what you do goes way beyond what you're called to do and what you're paid for. And the appreciation is appreciated. So thank you. And dear, whatever you want to do with that, it's fine by me, okay? Just do it.
There being no further informal announcements, we will begin our worship service. Would you please stand for the call to worship? Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Blessed are those who keep God's testimonies, who seek God with their whole heart,
who also do no wrong, but walk in God's way.
You have commanded your precepts and kept diligently.
Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes.
Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments.
I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances.
I will observe your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly.
And our covenant prayer. I am no longer mine own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. In the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. Please remain standing for hymn number 110, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Thank you.
Okay, and who loves us? Jesus loves us bunches and bunches and bunches. Did you ever go to a parade? Yeah, you've been at a parade? Aren't parades fun? They are fun. I love parades. What? Yeah. Wow. Did anybody get these yet? Did you get one of these? You already have one? You have one? You want one? You guys already have one? You have one? Do you have one? Okay. Let me give you the connectors. This goes on the end and you can bend it around. So when you break them, they glow. Okay. How about, let's see. You know, I love at parades, and they throw stuff at you, candy and toys and stuff. So much fun. Do you have one of these? How about a coin? Let me give you a coin. Do you have a coin? Do you have a coin yet? You already got one? Okay. There we go. Yeah, parades are great. I love when you hear the noise and you know that they're coming and you're sitting there and you're waiting and they get closer and closer and all of a sudden they're marching bands in front of you and then fire trucks and rescue vehicles and horses and clowns. Nice clowns too, not scary ones. You don't like clowns, huh? Oh, I love clowns. They're funny. So it's fun, but parades are a lot of fun. And people yelling back and forth across the street and all your friends and family there. Parade is a good way to celebrate. And we're going to talk about Zacchaeus today. Zacchaeus, because there was a parade in Zacchaeus' day. And the most important person in that parade in Zacchaeus' day, his name was Jesus. And Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. So a parade was a good thing to have. And even though Zacchaeus went to see Jesus in a parade, today Jesus is always with us, no matter where we go, whether it's a parade or whether it's at home, driving in the car, even here at church, doesn't matter where we go or what we do, Jesus is always with us. So, parades are fun. Jesus is even funner. Come on up here and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Jesus. We thank you for parades and other things that bring joy in our lives. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus who brings all kind of joy to us. So come, Lord Jesus, into our hearts right now. Fill us up, Jesus, and have your way with us. For we give you our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. One of our scripture readings today is from the book of James. Hear these words of James. He's a servant of God. Many believe he was the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was writing letters to the many new churches as they struggle in their faith. James 2, 14 through 19. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith with deeds. You believe that there is one God. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Will the ushers please come forward for the tithes and offerings?
Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this chance to bring to the altar a gift to give to you, a gift that represents our lives, our hopes, our dreams. For we give to you today, Lord, not only these gifts and these offering plates, we give you the sacrifice of praise, we give you our lives as living sacrifices. We give you all the things that are in our cupboards and dressers and garages at home. We give to you all of our hopes and dreams, our reputations. Use us, Lord, as you see fit. Bless both gift and giver, those who are able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Christ, in my heart, in my heart.
Close your eyes for just a moment. Think about all the ways that God has blessed you, answers to prayers, the things that you've seen this week that have just filled you with joy. Now let's lift up our joys unto the Lord. What do we have to be thankful for? Okay, for the weather, church. Veterinarians? Okay. What else? Okay, amen, yeah.
Bruce, I'd like to share with everyone our good news.
Yes.
This past week, Heather was asked to serve as pastor at two little country churches in Ohio. So, thank you.
Yep. Other joys. I'm sorry, what?
Our pastor and his family.
I'll pay you later, but thank you, Chris. That's right. Our pastor and his family. We went to a wedding last night that had been on our schedule for a long time and was a boss that Barney worked for, but friends of ours who got married. Wonderful, wonderful ceremony. Anybody else have a joy that they want to share?
In New York City, she's doing well.
Okay, Julie's traveling in New York City and doing well. If you have indoor plumbing, raise your hand. Okay, for all this stuff, we say, praise the Lord. Okay, pens, pencils, please take note. If you don't write it down here, when you get home, write it down. But it's my homework, your homework. Lift it up in prayer till God releases you from that. We have Jonathan and Michael and the Walker family. Laura's going for tests tomorrow. Keep Laura in your prayers. All those who are traveling, let's pray for our country and our country's leaders. Pray for our church, for the ministry, for the outreach. Men and women in the military, first responders, and clergy all over the world. Who else? What else? Oh, yes, we had that for the first service, too. The earthquake victims in Italy. And I saw a hand down here. Yes, Dawn. Okay, what was the name of the family?
Sambo.
Sambo, okay. S-A-B-O, Sabo, okay, Sabo family. Okay.
It's a concern and a joy. Prayers for my sister-in-law, Beth, on Friday. Hopefully, as long as the baby decides to stay till Friday, she'll be having a little baby boy. Okay. So we're excited, first boy in the family.
All right.
So, Beth and baby.
Anybody else have a concern for yourself or someone else, some other situation? Now, everybody can smile because in just a week from Tuesday, we have charge conference. And a week from Tuesday is election day. So that means a week and a day, it'll all be over. We won't have to listen to those stupid ads anymore. Yeah. So please keep the charge conference in your prayers as well. Everybody's invited to come out next Tuesday night, a week from this Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Come on out. It doesn't take long. We do conduct the business of the church for the year. So for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we add our faith one unto the other. And God, we stand upon your word, which is absolute truth. When we say, God, that we believe, help our unbelief. God, we lift up into the light and love of your presence all of our joys, and we say thank you. We lift up into the light and love of your presence all of our concerns here today for Jonathan, for Michael, for the Walker family, for Laura, all those who are traveling, all of those, Lord, children and adults who are involved in Halloween, keep them safe. We lift up to you our country and our country's leaders. We lift up to you, Lord, our church, the ministry here, men and women in the military and their families, charge conference. We lift up to you our first responders, your clergy all over the world. We lift up to you, Lord, the victims of the earthquake and the rescue personnel and medical personnel and the governments there in Italy. We lift up to you the Sabo family. Keep Julie safe. We pray for Beth. We believe, God, help our unbelief. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we're going to put Jack Pell on trial.
Open your mind and let's make believe that it's sometime in the future, say 2053, and this country has changed, as they tend to do, and being Christians illegal.
No way!
Yes, it's true. The law passed one year with overwhelming approval, and all churches were scheduled for immediate removal. Now Christians are criminals in the eyes of the state, and murder and worship now draw the same fate. But don't worry, the Christians haven't all gone away. They meet now in secret to this very day. One group that met in a house in Glendale had a member that went by the name of Jack Pale. Now, Jack was always there when they met together. He never would miss, no matter the weather. One night, when his church was quietly praying, from outside they heard a megaphone saying,
FBI, come on out. You're being arrested.
Some went out quiet, while others protested. But both groups soon ended up in the jail, and Jack's wife was called to help him post bail.
A Christian?
She cried to the voice on the line.
There's no way a Christian is a husband of mine.
But ma'am, he's confessed. He claims that it's real.
I said, there's no way, and here is the deal. I don't care what he says. We're going to court. And when I get there, I'll give a report of a life that he lives away from that place, how he lies and he cheats with a smile on his face.
So she got her a lawyer, and they set a court date and gathered the evidence. But Jack was irate.
I'm a Christian!
He tried to explain to his wife.
No, you're not,
she replied.
I have looked at your life. I have gathered your friends who will tell what you do, and the judge will see that a Christian's not you.
So the strangest of trials that our town ever had was of a man who screamed guilty with all that he had.
I'm guilty, I said, and this isn't funny. I go every week. I even give money. I sing all the songs. I stand and I kneel. Now they try to tell me that this isn't real. Just see what I do at that house in Glendale. Now I rest my case, for that's my whole tale.
Exactly,
screamed the lawyer sitting by Jack Pale's wife.
But you've only talked about part of your life. What happens when you're not with the other church guys? Do you act like a Christian, or do you tell lies? Do you treat everyone with fairness and grace? Or you treat them unkindly, then lie to their face?
What happened next was a line for 4 days of people Jack wronged in various ways. He cheats, said his friend. It's true, said another. Why, I even saw him pull a scam on his mother.
His mother?
Cried the lawyer.
You must be mistaken.
But the friend had the proof of all the money he'd taken. Some others explained how coarse jokes were the norm, and one guy gave testimony to his room full of porn. The parade was relentless, ruthless, and complete. It even included an ignored bum on the street. Ms. Pale's lawyer rested after showing his proof. Jack was dejected. His wife seemed aloof.
Mr. Pale,
said the judge,
I know this is odd, and your place as a Christian is between you and your God. But here in my court, we judge people by facts, and it seems you don't act like a real Christian acts.
But I'm a Christian,
said Jack, standing up from his seat.
Sit down,
said the judge.
This case is complete. You claim you're a Christian, but you come in this court with nothing to sustain it and no evidence in support. You say you're a Christian, and that may be true.
But what shows you're a Christian are the things that you do.
Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house. Because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. Yeah, parades, you got to love them. So much fun. And you can always tell it's a parade, you know, even if you don't go to the parade. You hear it off in the distance. the wailing of the sirens and the music and the marching bands. And it's just a great time for people to gather together. And you look for the dignitaries, you know, they politicians, they always get into the act. And Christmas time parade, it's Santa Claus. But those marching bands, you know, your high school and people that you know that are in the parade, just a lot of fun, a lot of excitement. And a lot of people lining the road, up and down both sides, a good time. And Zacchaeus, well, he heard about Jesus. Zacchaeus heard that Jesus healed the sick, opened up the eyes of the blind, unstopped the ears of the deaf, loosed the tongues of the mute, that he raised the dead. Just Lazarus, he heard about that. He heard that Jesus walked on water. He heard that Jesus calmed the storm, that he fed 5,000 with so little. He heard all these things. And he heard that Jesus was coming through town. And when he went down to the road to see Jesus, he couldn't see the road because of all the people lining both sides of it. It was a parade. And Jesus never traveled anywhere alone. Not only did he have his 12 disciples with him, but he also had other followers with him as well. So there was a large crowd of people surrounding Jesus. And everybody shouting and crying out. You know, they either wanted to have a miracle happen to them or they were just praising the Lord. But a lot of commotion, a lot of excitement. And here we have Zacchaeus, who was really short. Doesn't say how tall he is, of course, but he's just a little guy. And yet, he was a chief tax collector. Now, the Romans appointed you to be tax collector, and they didn't pay you. That was the custom. They didn't pay you. They just appointed you. You earned your own money by taking money off of other people. And the scripture says that Zacchaeus was wealthy. He had lots of money. So he was very good at his job. He was hated by the Romans, hated by his own people. And on top of that, he was really short. But Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, this man he'd heard so much about. And he climbs up into that sycamore tree. You can imagine his excitement, his heart pounding. And Jesus, here he comes, and he's watching Jesus come. And all of a sudden, Jesus makes this little detour, comes under his tree and looks up at him. Zacchaeus, come down from there. I need to go to your house today. All that attention focused on Zacchaeus, whom everybody else hated. In that moment when Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, he looked at him with love and understanding, and he singled him out and said, I have to go to your house. And he called him down out of that tree. In that moment, he forever changed Zacchaeus' life. And Zacchaeus came down, and people started grumbling about it. And Zacchaeus then gave proof that he was a changed man. And he said, I repent of all the money I've ever taken off of anybody that I shouldn't have. In fact, I'll give back 4 times as much as I ever took off of anybody. See, his faith he put into word, into works. Faith without works is dead, and Zacchaeus was going to prove that he had genuine faith now. Because it's real easy to say to somebody, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you know, forgive me. But Zacchaeus did more than just say, I'm sorry. He proved that he was sorry by what he did. He was going to return back not just what he took, but 4 times as much. There has to be evidence that we're Christians. And so when we repent of our sins, we need to go the extra mile and make things right. We need to fix things. In James there, chapter 2, faith without works is dead. You tell me you have faith, fine. I'll show you I have faith by what I do. I'm not just going to talk about it, but I'm going to do about it. I'm going to do something. In Matthew, it says that on the day of judgment, Jesus said, many people will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. And he says, and I'll say to them, away from me, I don't know you. And they'll say, but Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal the sick? Didn't we perform miracles in your name? And he'll say, away from me, I don't know you. Because there are people who will act religious and do religious things, but not with the right attitude, because they're not truly repentant of their sins. If we do things, we play the Christian, but we do it to make ourselves feel better, or we do it to try and justify ourselves, or to make ourselves look good in other people's eyes, then we're just wasting our time. It means nothing. That's why people say to me, I'm not going to church. There's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites there. It's an excuse that doesn't hold water. But it's one that we can understand, can't we? Because there are people who talk the walk but don't walk the talk. There are people who, if they were put on trial for being a Christian, their works wouldn't stand up. So we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We need to not just talk about being Christians, not just act like being Christians, but we have to actually be Christians. And we have to have proof in our lives that what we're doing because of Jesus. Because it's all about Jesus. So just like Jack Pell, all of our lives will one day be put on trial. It says that. Book of life will be opened. Everybody will be judged by their works. Question is there enough evidence to convict you and me of being a Christian? Let's think about that. God loves you, and so do I. One more song. Let's stand and sing. 389, Freely, Freely. We talked about this today in my junior high Sunday school class, about using the gifts and talents that we have to go out and tell people about Jesus. Talked about doing things for other people, doing it through the church or doing it in a community. We need to go out and stack up the evidence, gather lots of evidence that truly we are Christians. Let's go out there and turn the world upside down and show them. Dear Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit upon us. Guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us go. Fill us with your boldness, God, so that we will truly go out and love one another in the name of Jesus. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said,
Amen. Amen.